as we study God's word, you know, what can we expect of God? And that's going to depend on what the need is. What the need is. What God did for David, what God did for Joshua, what God did through the apostles, it may have been different things at different times, but you serve a God of miracles. Amen. And what our need today is, we're dealing with COVID. We're dealing with hurricanes. We're dealing with earthquakes. We're dealing with wars and rumors of wars. Do we expect God to work miracles? And if you expect God to work miracles, ask yourself, Lord, what can I do to help in this process? All of us can pray. All of us can believe God, and all of us can trust God. These are times that we need to draw close to the Lord and say, God, have your own way. Have your own way. Thank you, choir, for that song. I expect miracles in my life, the abundance of God and the power of God to work in ways that I can't even imagine. If I'm depending on my own strength, if I'm depending on my own effort, it's not going to work. But if I depend on the grace of God, God will do what he said he would do. Amen? Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. We're going to close out our series on dry bone situations, those things that we find ourselves involved in, and pray that God has blessed you, that you've learned some things. I don't know when you're going to get that phone call or when you're going to run into that encounter, but sooner or later, everybody's going to run into trouble. Everybody is going to face a time of need. And the assurance that we have, if you haven't heard anything else that we preached in this series and from based on Ezekiel 37, God was with Ezekiel in the valley. Please understand that. Doesn't change the fact that you have to face difficulties. But we want you to know that God is with you in that difficulty. If you don't learn anything else, if you haven't heard any, if I haven't had anything else to speak to my heart, that's been the most important one. God is with you in that valley situation that you're going through. We serve not only God of the mountaintop, but we serve a God who's with you in the valley. Amen? Ezekiel 37, a couple of verses that come to mind today. And our main thought for today is gratitude. Gratitude. Ezekiel 37, beginning with verse number 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Verse 13, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to just share with you a thought today, knowing God in a bad place. Knowing God. In a bad place. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. I pray that you'd bless us now in our time together, that it might be time well spent, that we might glorify and honor you. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Here was Ezekiel in this valley of dry bones. And God put forth a question to him, can these bones live? Sounded like a simple question, right? Ezekiel did not attempt to answer the question on his own. He waited on the Lord for his answer. He said, Lord, you know. You know. One of the things that we have to do if we're in a situation that we have no control over, we have to admit what Ezekiel did. That is, Lord, you know. You're the one that can solve this situation. You're the one that can turn things around. But here's the important point that we want to make as we talk about our last segment, that is being grateful or having a grateful attitude. Don't just limit your worship of God to just coming out of a situation. Don't just say, well, man, I made it out. Thank God for that. And then you forget about it. Because here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. The same way that Israel had this cycle of going back into sin, where they limited their knowledge of God, they were limited in their gratitude and their worship of God, so the next thing you know, they're in a trap again. They're in a bad situation again. They're in a valley again because they didn't really know God. I want to connect gratitude with knowing God. I want to connect those two. Because many of us are familiar with the things that God gives us. But are you familiar with God? Look at somebody for the first time and ask them, do you know him? Look at somebody else in case they're going to sleep and ask them, do you know him? If you have to nudge them and say, do you know him? It's important that we know God. And as I read these verses, you know, we preached about this. Ministers have preached and they've told people about the dry bones, but they didn't get to the part really where they dug in and said the problem was not that they were dead, but that they didn't know God. In other words, the only life that you and I can have is in God. Now, please be careful with this. Don't read your Old Testament and think that all of the messages apply to you. Some of them do, but some of them refer to Israel specifically. God was dealing with the nation. And as God dealt with them, there are certain promises in the Old Testament that was for Israel and not you. However, you can look at that verse and you can learn some of the lessons taught from that verse. You can glean some of the things that God was doing. As we said to you earlier, God was with them in the valley. Will God be with you? Yes, he will. Why? Because he made a New Testament promise, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So we can claim that promise because we know that God is Emmanuel, God with us. Are y'all still here? So when we look at this passage, and we say, as Ezekiel did, Lord, you know, we come upon these dry bones and we ask ourselves, now what's going to happen to these dry bones? And God said to him, here's the process. As you preach to them, these bones are going to come to life. They're going to get connected. They're going to get unified and skin will come upon them. They will have sinew. They will have muscle. Skin will be upon them. And lastly, as you preach to them, I'm going to give them life. Now, this represented Israel. At that time in their history, they were in a bad place. They were in captivity. And not only were they diminishing as far as a population, they were losing or had lost their status as a nation. In other words, they were nobodies. When you ran across them in Babylon and later on in the Persian Empire, they were nobodies. As a matter of fact, they were being persecuted because they were Jews and they were different. Have you felt like you were different? You ever felt that way? I'm just different. On your job or in society, people treat you, oh, you one of those Christians. Oh, are you one of those holy folk? Because you don't engage in the things of this world. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It doesn't mean that we hate the world, but we ain't going to live like the world. Are y'all still here? I'll tell anybody, don't hate people. Don't hate them because they live a certain way or believe a certain thing or practice a certain way. Don't hate them. You got to love them because God loves them, but don't do what they do. Are y'all still here? It's all right to be different. Look at somebody a second time and tell them it's all right to be different. It's all right to be different. You are who you are. You are who God made you to be. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I'm not perfect, but I'll tell you what. I'm glad I'm not living in sin. I'm glad I'm not having to deal with that. I'm glad I can wake up on Sunday morning and don't have a hangover. I'm glad, amen, I can go to bed at night and don't have to worry about who I robbed, who I cheated. I don't have to worry about that. I can go to sleep at night because the Lord has blessed me. Are y'all still here? I'm so thankful that I can live according to God's grace and by His Spirit. Aren't you glad about it? Now, here's the situation. It would have been easy for Ezekiel to, in this vision that he was seeing, it would have been easy for him to prophesy to the people and tell them, oh, the Lord said for you to live. The Lord said for you to come to life. But that was not their only problem. What caused them to have this dry bone situation? What caused them to become a nation that was now fragmented? And the fact was, they had turned against God because they didn't know how good God was. I'm afraid that during this pandemic, one of the things that's going to happen with people is they're going to turn away from God. Where the Lord didn't do this and the Lord didn't do that. Wait a minute. God doesn't have to answer to your little bell. God doesn't have to do things based on your plan. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Are y'all still here? And one of the things that I learned that I needed to learn to do, and that is I need to know God. I need to know what's going on. In this verse, the problem was not that the ankle bone was not connected to the foot bone. That was not the problem. That was the result of the problem. The problem was not that the head or the skull was not connected to the shoulder or the neck bone. That's not the issue. The issue was they got disconnected from God. Why do we come to church on Sunday? Why are we here every Sunday? Because we could wind up just like the dry bones, dried up, amen, no life in us, no purpose at all. But thank God we come to hear the word of God so that we can draw close to Him and get to know Him for ourselves. Amen. I don't come to church because I'm living all that good. I'm coming because I want to live. Look at somebody, tell them, I want to live. Amen. I come because I need the Spirit of God to breathe new life into me. I'm from the farm. Can I teach y'all a farm lesson? If you own the farm and you working with dirt, are y'all still here? You out there plowing, it's going to be very unusual for you to come in the evening and not have some dirt on you. Oh, y'all, I don't think the folks over there heard me. Any folk over here know what I'm talking about? You cannot plow, you cannot go into the field and not have some dirt, not have some trash or something on you. And I want to tell you something, you can't walk through this world without having your spirit being vexed sometime. Are y'all still here? Folks cussing around you, and even though you don't cuss, but that word kind of circles your mind. Hello, somebody. Next time you get upset, that word will pop up. Are y'all still in the house? That's why you need to come in and hear a word. Otherwise, you're going to be repeating what you heard. Thank God I'm saved today. Thank God I know the Lord. And thank God for being able to worship and to come into His presence and to know that He is the Lord. The issue with Israel And what had caused them to get disconnected and what had caused this entire situation is that they did not know that God was real. The verse says very clearly in verse 13, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your grave, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves." It's good to know that He is God, not just to know I'm out of that problem. Because if you are out of the problem and now you don't have God walking with you, or better yet, God directing your footsteps, you're going to end up in another problem. You ever seen people always, "Well, pray for me, I need deliverance"? No, you need more than that. You need to get in your word and read your Bible. Amen. Because some of the traps in life you ain't got to step in, all right? You don't have to go in that direction. You can trust in the Lord. And the Bible says He will direct your path. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Here was Daniel, who was of the captivity. All right? The nation of Israel, they went into captivity. But Daniel, even though he was in the captivity, he still wanted to know and to honor God. And guess what happened? God began to use Daniel, even though he was in a strange place, strange people, no national status. But because he had something in him, God promoted him, and God allowed him to be in places where he never would have been because the Lord was with him. Better yet, let me change it. Daniel was with the Lord. Are y'all still here? That made it possible, even though he was in captivity, he could be able to be promoted. But the other thing was, when trials came and situations came, what we call dry bone situation, he was in the lion's den. Are y'all here? And guess what the Lord did? He delivered him from the lion's den. Why? He knew the Lord. So my question to you today is, do you know the Lord? And you know the Lord, something has to prompt you to know. When you were in school, you learned because, if I want to get out of this school, I got to do this and I got to take this test. But wouldn't it be better if you loved what you were doing? If you love the Lord, you're going to want to know the Lord. Are y'all here? If you love God, you're going to want to draw close to God. If you love Him, you will keep His commandments. Why? Because it's good and it's right for us to do. Let me give you three things. First of all, let me give you the five pillars that we've been talking about through our dry bone situation. If you haven't written them down, you can write them down now. If you're online, you can write them down now. First of all, admission. That's our first pillar. Our first pillar of power is admission. Know when the problem is bigger than you. No need of you saying to yourself, I can make it. I can get through this. No, you can't. You're going to need God. So you have to admit that the problem is bigger than you. Second thing, you have to observe, observation. Pay close attention to what the Lord tells you. Pay close attention to every word that proceeds out of your mouth. A lot of disciples during the time that Jesus ministered, some of them walked with Him no more. Jesus looked at His 12 and said, "Will you also go away?" And they looked at Him and said, "Lord, where are we going to go? To whom shall we go? Only You have the words of eternal life." Pay close attention to what God tells you. That's observation. Third, obedience. When God tells you something, obey Him. Follow His instruction. Because when you follow His instructions, their life. Israel would never have gotten here if they had followed God's instructions. But they refused. And they turned to idol gods. And then things began to happen. Number four, not only should we admission is when we know when the problem is big in us, observation, pay close attention to God's answer, obedience, act in accordance to God's will, expectation. We talked about that the last time. Expectation. Have the assurance that God will bring about the results. Have the assurance. Looking for a miracle. Asking God to show us things that we haven't seen before. And then today, we're talking about gratitude. That is, honor God for His deliverance. That's the one I want to close with today. How do you honor God? If I don't want the same mistake to repeat in my life, how am I going to honor God? How am I going to recognize that he is Lord? That have that gratitude is not just waving your hands, thank you, Lord, praise you, and then after that you forget all about the Lord. What is the state of mind that I need to have, or what we might call the attitude of gratitude? How does that work in my life? Number one, you must recognize that God is gracious. God is gracious. What do you mean by that, preacher? He didn't give me what I deserved. He gave me more. He blessed me when I didn't deserve blessing. A lot of people, they have this thing in mind, well, I'm going to do this, and then the Lord going to love me. No. It's not based on, whenever you do that, you're limiting God. It's based on his love, his grace that's at work in your life. The psalmist said, he's not rewarded me according to my iniquity, but according to his, watch this word, tender mercies. That's how good God is. Look at somebody for this sixth time. Just look at him, tell him, God is good. Look at somebody else in case they're going to sleep. Tell them, God is good. And then tell them, wake up. You're missing something here. God is gracious. Why do I need to know God? I need to know that he is gracious. I need to know that he's a God of love. There are a lot of people that you go through. Now, listen, God is a righteous God. Don't ever get me wrong, but there are some people that if you listen to them, they would have you thinking, man, God's going to send down a bolt of lightning in a minute and he's going to strike me dead. Well, he could do that if he wanted to, and he didn't have to send lightning. All he has to do is hold your next breath. Stop your next heartbeat. That's how easy it is. Don't ever think it's a problem for God to do away with you. He doesn't want to do away with you. He wants to make a way. y'all missed that. He wants to work in your life. God is a gracious God. Now, if he's a gracious God giving free gifts, then we ought to give him the gifts that we have. What gifts do I have? I have the gift of praise. I can praise who I want to. I can say that my wife is the most beautiful woman in the world, which she is. You ought to clap your hand to that, yes. I can say Al's a good man. He's faithful. Loves the Lord. That's giving graciously. Now, when you honor God, when you're honoring the Lord, you're saying, Lord, thank you for blessing me this morning. Thank you for starting me on my way. Looked at my refrigerator. Amen. Had food in my refrigerator. Woke up this morning, had a roof over my head. What else am I going to tell God but thank you? Whole lot of folk didn't have what I had. And amen, I'm not going to get the big head and think that I did it. I know that it was nobody but Jesus. Nobody but the Lord. Come on in here. When you are gracious, when you are telling God, Lord, thank you for being a gracious God. Thank you for recognizing that you didn't have to do it, but I'm glad you did. The Lord is gracious. That's number one. That will help you to have that grateful attitude. But the second thing that I think is very important, I got to move right along here. When you show gratitude, it establishes your identity and your relationship with God. Is anybody listening? Look at what happened to Israel. Just read the verse where it tells you, said that they were in this situation and they did not recognize who they were. Then he said to me, verse 11, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. In other words, they're saying, we don't know who we are. We're all broken to pieces, we're torn apart, we're all messed up, we tore up from the floor. We're just a mess. God did not look at them that way. Are y'all still here? Notice the very next verse. Verse 12, therefore, I wish I had time to preach this. Therefore, old preachers used to say that. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, watch this word, O my people. God says, you're my people. You're jacked up, but you're still my people. You messed up again, but you're still my people. I still love you. Amen, somebody. A couple of weeks ago, we used the example of a little baby coming up to you. It's your kid, but they stink like, I don't care. I mean, they got that dop on, and you know when it's loaded down, it's dragging the floor? And you got to change them. That's what my wife used to call me. Come here, change your baby. Thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves. But then verse 13 goes on to say, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. So what are you saying, preacher? People have to recognize that the Lord gives you your identity. When you come to Christ, and if anyone is in Christ, you become a new creature. Your old identity, you get a brand new identity. You go to places now, they ask you for your identity. Who are you? Now, my driver's license would tell me that I'm William Coleman, but there's something else that's not on my driver's license. I'm a child of the living God. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living because he's my God. God says, you're my people, but he also was saying to them, amen, you ought to be my people and you ought to say so. When you're grateful, when you have that gracious attitude, you don't mind saying, Lord, I belong to you. Lord, I'm yours. Amen. And you don't mind being a part of what God is doing. I'm glad to be a part of the church. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. And whatever needs to be done at God's church and for God's people, I don't mind doing it. Because I know that he is my Lord. So the first thing you got to do, recognize that God is gracious. If you're going to have a grateful attitude, and you're going to have that attitude of gratitude, know that God is gracious, that whatever he gave you, you didn't deserve it. Secondly, you got to establish your identity with him. Dry bones can't praise God. Dead folk can't praise God. It takes living folk. And God says, when I've delivered you, that's when you ought to recognize that I'm God. You ought to know that I'm God. And as we prepare to close this message, I got one more thing I want to share with you. Third application, it prepares you to live a new life. Now, did God raise these people or these dry bones? Did he raise them just to become another valley of dry bones? So why is it that we as believers, now again, not taking Israel's promise, but knowing that God is God and knowing that we've got a grateful attitude, why is it that we don't believe that God can make something of our life? Point to yourself right now. And I'm not trying to, you know, pray for Jesse Jackson, but he's the one that first came up with this statement. Point to yourself and say, I am somebody. Boy, that was real weak. Say it like you got an attitude. I am somebody. I'm a child of God. When I first heard that statement, at first I thought it was egotistical, but then I began to dig into the scripture. And I found out that whenever you associate with someone that is great in a personal and real way, whatever they have can really be yours. Are y'all still in the house? And when you associate with them, now you become a part of them. So our third thing is, we want to now live not as if we were dry bones, but as children of the Most High God. I wish that we had saints who would act like they were saints. That's my prayer. I wish we had folk that say we're going to pray to realize what their prayer could do. Because when your identity, when you realize that the Most High God, can I tell you what my grandma said? She said, he walks with me. He talks with me and tells me that I am his own. When you are grateful, you know who you belong to. And you know that you have something that you can do for God's kingdom. I don't want nobody talking bad about my God. I don't want nobody saying things that are wrong about my God, because I'm going to come with the word and I'm going to tell you, thus saith the Lord. So my encouragement to you this day, have a gracious attitude even while you're in the valley. Don't wait and say, well, tomorrow when I get out of this, then I'm going to praise God. Then I'm going to be grateful. Praise Him in your valley. Praise Him in your storm. Praise Him when things are going wrong. Praise Him when it looks like that you're not going to be able to see your way. But you don't have to see it. You just have to believe it. God can make a way out of no way. And as the church of the living God, we haven't gotten through this pandemic yet, but it doesn't matter because God is our God. God is our conqueror. God is our strength. He's our shade on the right hand. God is with us. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And I'm going to tell you, if you hold on to God, He is the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not waiting on tomorrow to praise God. I'm going to praise Him right now. I'm going to thank Him. I'm going to give Him glory. We were at a service, a memorial service the other day for a young man that had passed away. And I want to tell you, the good news was he was saved. He knew the Lord as a Savior. Don't know all the details of how he died, but guess what? In the eyes of God, he still lives. And that young man at that service, they sung this little song, or they played this song that had resonated in my spirit. Sometimes when you're in a valley situation, you don't know how you're going to make it. And the words of the song went like this: I know some way. I know somehow we're going to make it. No matter what the test, no matter what comes my way, we're going to make it. For the last time, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, we're going to make it. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word, and He never failed me yet. Some way, somehow, we're going to make it. No matter what the test, no matter what comes my way, we're going to make it. With Jesus on my side, it's going to work out fine. We're going to make it. How many of you believe that today? I know some way, I know somehow, we're going to make it. Come on, y'all know it. No matter what the test, no matter what comes my way, we're going to make it. With Jesus on our side, things will work out fine. We're gonna make it. That's all I'm gonna sing of, because that's all I know. Do any of y'all know it out there? No matter what comes my way, no matter what the test, no matter what comes my way, we're gonna make it. I know some way, and I know somehow, we're gonna make it. Yes, we will. With Jesus on our side, things will work out fine. We're gonna make it. We're gonna make it, church. Everybody stand. We're gonna make it. Stay right there, choir. Keep saying, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. I know it gets hard sometimes, and you're seem like you're all by yourself. But guess what? The Lord made you a promise one day that he'd never leave you nor forsake you. And guess what? When you go through your trial, when you go through your struggle, guess what, church? You need to minister to yourself right now because you're a child of God. You believe in his word. Say it with me.
We're gonna make it.
Gonna make it. Gonna make it. Yes, we will.
We're gonna make it.
My way gets hard. Sometimes it gets so dark. Coming up the rough side of the mountain. Have to cry sometime. Guess what?
We're gonna make it.
We're gonna make it. We're gonna make it. Last time, choir.
We're gonna make it.
Father, we thank you again for your love and your grace, and I pray that you would help someone who's burdened down. Bless especially the bereaved family, that they would know and have the full assurance that they're going to make it. Gets rough. Tears have to fall, but they're going to make it. With Jesus on our side, things will work out fine, and we're going to make it. Bless now, God, I pray that one that is making a decision for Christ, I pray they'd open their eyes as they go through their own dry bone situation. They would recognize that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. May they come out of that valley. May they be saved and may they know that the Spirit of the Lord has come to dwell within them. Bless them now, God. I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Going to get ready to close, but before we do, want to give the invitation. Maybe there's someone in here, someone online, or someone in the parking lot that you want to acknowledge that Christ is Lord. We want to give you that opportunity. Very simple prayer. All you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need your grace. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Make me a child of God, and God will do just what he said. If anyone confess that he is Lord, you shall be saved. Is there one?